podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Android App Arena is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Android App Arena, Episode 1, for Friday, June 13th, 2014. Puzzle Games. This episode of Android App Arena is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit lynda.com/arena. That's lynda.com/arena. Hello and welcome to my first ever episode of Android App Arena. My name is Jason Howell, and those of you who have watched All About Android, which is my other Android show on the Twit Network, know that every week we hold a contest pitting apps against each other in a battle of the best. Think of this as an extension of that. Each week, I'm going to focus on a few great apps currently available for Android. Sometimes I'll cover a particular theme, say note-taking apps, photo editing apps, even platformer games. Sometimes I'm going to go one-on-one with a developer and just kind of chat to them about just the hottest apps that they have in their arsenal and give you the inside scoop on what it takes to build great apps for Android. And I have a whole bunch of other ideas to throw into the mix as well. Now, every week will be a little bit different. I'm going to stay true to one key goal, though. I'm going to deliver to you a bunch of great apps that you can install on your device and hopefully find as enjoyable and useful as I have. So let's waste no more time. Now that you know what Android App Arena is all about, it's time to dive into today's first segment. At least once a month, I'm going to take a close look at some of the best games to hit Android in a segment I call Game On. Now, I know that may sound familiar to Twit fans, so I hope you'll excuse my resurrection of the title. I did check with OMG Chad, and he's cool with it. Today's Game On focuses on puzzle games that rock my world. First up is a new puzzle game called Monument Valley, and it has a visual style unlike any other game that I've played. Monument Valley is highly architectural in its approach, and really, it reminds me of the three-dimensional art of M.C. Escher. Columns turn into pathways that turn into moving blocks. It requires you to bend your perception in order to navigate the levels. You are a silent princess trying to make your way through a number of hulking three-dimensional spiraling castles and towers. Turning cranks rotates the playing field to reveal new pathways and, sometimes more importantly, new perspectives to what you've already seen. Gravity works in all directions, so depending on the level, up could very easily not really be up at all. Levels do take a reasonable amount of time to maneuver, particularly as you work your way through the game, but the soothing soundtrack helps lull you into the perfect mood for problem solving. And though it's a tad short and pretty easy to conquer in less than a few hours of concentrated gameplay, this is one of the best puzzle games I've played on Android to date. As far as I'm concerned, it's a must grab. $3.99 in the Play Store. Get it, you won't regret it, though it may make your brain hurt just a little bit. Now, speaking of unique visual style, here's a puzzle game that adds a nice element of adventure to the mix. It's called The Room 2, and it's a dark and cryptic journey into physical 3D environments. You start your quest in a dark room, lightly stocked with a few gizmo doohickeys and a couple of cryptic letters. Using standard motions like pinch to zoom, swipe to tilt, you can basically maneuver through the immediate environment to take a closer look at the items that surround you in an effort to reveal even more, well, confusing items. The block might fit into a puzzle, you know, that you find on one level. The key might open a door that contains the clue to handwriting that's thrown up on the wall on the other side of the room in another level. These glasses might enable you to see invisible handwriting that contains the password for a particular padlock. It's all very confusing and very cryptic. And success in The Room 2 hinges entirely on your curiosity and exhaustive analysis of the objects that surround you. It's one of those games that might be somewhat easy to just throw your hands in the air and admit defeat after 10 minutes of searching for that one mysterious item that will allow you to continue onward, but stick with it. You'll find it eventually, or it may hit you upside the head like a ton of bricks, and don't you just love those, now I get it, duh, moments when you're playing games like this. The environments are skillfully designed, and the whole game has a disturbing sense of foreboding It makes it a lot of fun, if not a bit unnerving. Like a horror film that you want to turn away from but just can't bring yourself to do it. The Room 2 costs $2.99 in the Play Store, and if you like what you see, it's obviously a sequel, so check out the critically acclaimed Part 1 as well. Now, for a different kind of puzzle game entirely, and one that requires a little bit of mathematical brain power, check out Threes. Now, I will admit, I'm not a huge fan of numbers, so games that revolve around them don't always grab my attention. But Threes only took a short amount of time for me to understand that this isn't hardcore mathematics at all, just good, clean, numerical fun. You're presented with a grid of boxes, and a series of tiles appear with different numerical values on them. Numbers 1 and 2 can only be merged and added with each other. They are red and blue, so pretty easy to tell. Any number higher than 3 can only be combined with another equal number. You swipe your finger in any direction to move all of the tiles that have an empty box to move into, and hopefully also to combine two tiles that contain the same number. Once that happens, the value is added, and you end up with a tile of higher value. The goal here is to try and combine as many tiles as possible, equaling the highest numbers on each tile. The higher the number, the more points you get when you inevitably fill all of the boxes and can no longer combine any tiles together. And for me, it happened far too early. Now, even showing my performance on this first episode of Android App Arena is somewhat shameful, but I'm taking the hit for you guys because I'm nice like that. If you like numbers and you like puzzles, this is the game for you. A great time waster when you're on the go. Threes is $1.99 in the Play Store. So there you have it, three great and very different puzzle games for your Android device. And if your boss asks you why you're spending all of your time on the clock playing these games, go ahead and tell him that this guy on the internet gave you permission. Everybody understands that excuse. All right, before we move on, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. This episode of Android App Arena is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com helps you learn and keep up to date with your software, pick up brand new skills, or explore new hobbies with their easy-to-follow video tutorials. Whether you want to build your own Android app in Java, learn how to use the Android API to create engaging mobile apps, or just improve your programming language skills, Lynda.com offers thousands of courses on a variety of topics. And you can learn anywhere, anytime, with the Lynda.com app for Android. With the Lynda.com subscription, members receive unlimited access to the entire course library. Lynda.com works directly with software companies to provide timely training, often the same day new versions or releases hit the market, so you're always up to speed. Learn from top experts, and all of the courses are produced at the highest quality, not like the homemade videos you're going to find on YouTube. Whether you have 15 minutes or 15 hours, you can learn at your own pace on your own terms. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Lynda.com course library, or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which also includes exercise files. And you can try Lynda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit Lynda.com/arena to access the entire library. That's over 2,400 courses free for 7 days. That's Lynda.com/arena. Now, shifting gears from the apps to the people who make them, I want to spend some time each month focusing on a few interviews with awesome Android developers to see how and why they do what they do. 7 key questions for developers is what the Dev 7 is all about. So let's bring on this week's guest. All right, today I'm happy to welcome Chris Lacey to the show. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For those who might not already know, Chris has made some very interesting apps as of late. One of them is called Link Bubble, and it has a lot of folks online saying this is how you tackle mobile web browsing. The app can be set as your default browser so that any links that you click on your device automatically appear in a floating bubble on top of your device's UI, so it can take all the time it needs, loading to completion in the background, sometimes that's a long time, while you continue using your device for other things. So let's start there. How do you get ideas for the apps that you make, like Link Bubble? Is it a matter of evaluating a problem that exists, thinking creatively about how that problem could be solved? Where do you kind of tap into for inspiration when creating an app?
I think it probably stems from the fact that I work alone, and so because of that, I have to ask myself a lot of questions. Like my brain is always on, so to speak, and I'm always, I think I'm pretty good at if something annoys me, rather than just going, oh, that sucks, I go, oh, that sucks, how could it be better? And I think it starts from there. And, a while ago, I just sort of randomly posed myself the question, what a mobile browser is going to look like in 10 years' time. Chances are they're not going to keep looking like derivatives of their desktop brethren. And I sort of didn't think anything of it, but then one day I was using Twitter and the t.co links, just the fact that it sat there forever and ever and ever, it just, right, just drove me nuts. And I just thought, well, hang on, what could be done to improve this? And then, you know, the light bulb went off as far as, well, hang on, why does my entire full screen have to be hijacked while I'm clicking on a link? Why can't I just do this in the background? And so Link Bubble came from there, basically.
That's awesome. That's a great way to get there. I imagine a lot of times solution comes out of frustration, and that's probably the key point there. Now, there are a ton of apps in the Play Store, no denying that. Do you ever concern yourself with the fact that almost every category has so much competition for users, or do you feel like the cream just kind of naturally rises easily to the top?
I don't, like, I wouldn't go about writing a Flappy Bird clone.
although many people have.
Many people have. Yeah. And I guess that's their prerogative. But, yeah. I mean, if I'm not going to write something unless I see there's a purpose for it and it hasn't already been solved. So, I mean, technically Link Bubble is a browser, but there was nothing like Link Bubble in the Play Store. The same could be said for Action Launcher. Action Launcher is a third-party launcher, but it definitely tries to differentiate itself and be unique. And so in that regard, you know, I think so long as the apps are doing something different that will hopefully appeal to people, then I just focus on making the best app that I can.
How kind of along those lines now, I mean, when you released Link Bubble, I had not seen anything like it. Now there are other apps that kind of do similar floating browser style things, very similar to Link Bubble. How do you feel about creating something unique and then seeing others kind of take that idea and run with it?
I have mixed feelings on it. I mean, in some way, we're all, you know, I wasn't the first to write a browser.
Sure.
So we're all, you know, standing on the work of others that have come before us. But at the same time with Link Bubble, like, it's no exaggeration. I had broken sleep on that for probably 2 months leading up to release. I was, just mentally sweating over every design decision. And, you know, what looks obvious now, once you see it, it wasn't obvious. It all had to be created. And it's, you know... It can definitely feel a little bit like a kick in the guts when someone just comes along and just, you know, lifts it verbatim, and, you know, all that hard work that you've put into it is sort of lifted off like that. But I don't know. There's I guess you take it as a form of flattery. There's very little you can do.
Right. Right. Now, kind of shifting gears a little bit to kind of the support angle, how do you tackle support? I imagine support has to be a very difficult thing to provide when you're a one person team, right? And you're creating an app that potentially thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are suddenly using. Is it pretty overwhelming to deal with that kind of that level of support? And where do you draw the line?
Yes, in a word. I'd say support is definitely my biggest challenge, in the sense that I'm still figuring out where to draw the line. I buy apps, and sometimes I send emails, and I send emails with the hope of getting a response. But at the same time, it's very, very tough. Like, it's just me. And the reality is that if I spend 5 minutes on an email, that's 5 minutes I'm not coding. And that really adds up. Like, once Action Launcher 2.0 went out, I um, I tried for a while to answer every support email, and you know, if I was compiling code, then I'd flick to the support emails and stay on top of them. But it snowballs, and as soon as you respond to one, then that breeds further responses and that sort of stuff. And soon I'm spending an hour a day just on support, and that's, you know, almost a, you know, 5 hours a week. That's not an insignificant amount of time, and it just gets really, really tough. I can't afford that time, basically, without compromising the speed that I deliver updates and new apps. So my current solution is to I've invested a bunch of time writing in app FAQs, which answer the vast majority of questions. And I've sort of promoted them higher in the settings now, so that you know, hopefully they get read a bunch more. And then I try and write helpful automated responses, but it's it's very difficult for me to spend the time when someone's said, "Hey, I think you should add these three features," and you know, I've had those three features, you know, suggested to me literally 100+ times, and I add them in the FAQ saying that yes, I've heard them. I just can't really justify the time spending, you know, engaging on that, as much as that sounds, you know, douchey or whatever. It's very tough. I would love to, you know, if the apps can grow a bit more, then I can probably you know, maybe bring someone on, a community manager or something like that, and have that person sort of deal with that. But I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, particularly when you're a one-man team running the whole show, has to be incredibly overwhelming. And I imagine it's a fine line to walk between giving the users of your app the information that they're looking for, you know, maybe presenting it, you know, like you said, tweaking it so that it shows to them in different ways, versus showing people that don't need or don't want to see it something that, they, you know, suddenly they're like, well, why are you showing me this? I already knew this, or, you know, whatever. I feel like I'm being put out because I have to read this text, and that's not what I'm here for. So you can't please everybody in this world, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
I think that's been a really strong lesson that I've learned, is that it's literally impossible to please 100% of the people 100% of the time. You cannot do it. Mm-hmm. So you just have to, I guess, do what you think is right and best for, you know, all your users as a whole. And I think that's about the best you can hope for.
Sure. And then what about legacy support, real quick here? Older devices, older apps. I mean, at what point do you say, all right, like, are you following percentages as far as install base, or...
I definitely look at them in the Play Store, but all my apps require Ice Cream Sandwich and above. So
makes it easier.
Well, I guess Link Bubble requires Jelly Bean because it uses some APIs that only came online there. But I don't have too much to do there as far as, you know, Gingerbread and that sort of stuff.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, that makes it easy then. Now, you have a Link Bubble beta program set up through Google's beta testing program that it announced at last year's Google I.O. About a year ago. What are your thoughts on the tool? Did Google cover the bases with the program? Are there things that could be added to make it more useful to developers? How do you feel about that?
I think it's a great tool. My biggest beef is the fact that it takes 2 hours to roll out. Especially when you're dealing with a beta, you want people using it right now, not in 2 hours. So I would love to see that that time evaporate, and it'd also be pretty handy if they showed some stats as far as, okay, this beta's been installed on X number of devices and that sort of stuff. But you know, generally speaking, it's a pretty great tool. I've got Google have done a good job with it.
Excellent. All right, and the last question almost always has to be: are you working on anything? Cooking anything up? What can we look forward to in the next coming months?
Yes, in words. I've got at the moment I'm in a frantic rush trying to get Link Bubble and Action Launcher updates out before I head off to I.O. So that they'll both arrive next week, you know, hopefully, you know, don't hold me to it.
Right.
But And, you know, after that, I've definitely had a few sort of little epiphanies in the last week, actually, which has been quite exciting. So I've got one app that I could release, you know, today if I wanted to. But it's something that I've wanted to think on a little more before putting it out there. And I think I've sort of coming to the end of that thinking time, so that one won't be too long before I pop that out, and it should be accompanied by you know, some other interesting releases. I'm hatching a plan there, which may be madness, but we'll find out in the weeks after I.O., I guess.
Right on. So then, in other words, there's plenty to look forward to, and I know I'll be following. I've really just been a huge fan of Link Bubble, and it really has done what you've hoped for it, at least for me, in making me realize just how much time I stare at a web browser while it's loading a page when I'm not using it. And I'm like, man, That's just such a waste of time.
It drives me nuts whenever I pick up the iPad. It's a waste of my time when I click a link to wait for that link to load. Yeah. It's, you know, I could be using that time. Like, who wouldn't want to keep reading Twitter rather than watch a web page load? I think the value proposition is very clear there, and it's very obvious once you become aware of it. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of Link Bubble for sure.
Hey, one real quick question from the chat room, because I think this is good. Whoever in the chat room says, as a single developer, how do you keep up with multiple apps? Do you spend time on whichever one has your interest at the time, or do you split your time evenly working on all of them?
I don't have a hard and fast rule. I definitely wasn't working on Action Launcher for a while there while I was closing out Link Bubble, because Link Bubble just took longer to close out than I thought it would, but that's always the case.
Sure.
But you know, this week, for instance, I'd say I've spent equal time on both apps, but both are getting to the point where the more time I spend with them, the more I think of how I could make them better still. So I'm definitely thinking that it might be good if I had some help writing them. So I'm figuring out how that might work and that sort of stuff. So I don't know if any budding Android developers are watching this and are potentially interested in that, then get in touch.
Right on. Well, that leads perfectly to kind of wrapping up here. Chris Lacy, it's been a pleasure having you on the premiere episode of Android App Arena. I'm really super stoked to have you on here. How can people get in touch with you if they're interested, and where can people kind of follow your work online?
I'm pretty visible on both Google Plus and Twitter. And my Twitter's set up so that anyone can DM me. So they're generally the best ways.
Cool. That's Chris M. Lacy on Twitter, and just search for Chris Lacy on Google Plus.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
All right, and finally, each week we'll end the show by highlighting a notable new app or game release. Now, obviously, as much as I would love to cover every single new app on this show, I have to pick and choose. And this slot will always be selected from a pool of top apps released very recently that are absolutely worth knowing about. So what's hot to trot right now? Well, those of you who've used the old Wikipedia app for Android for very long probably don't need me to remind you why a redesign might be necessary. The old app was basically a shell for the site and lacked features and a certain polish and finesse. And so the folks at the Wikimedia Foundation decided to redesign the experience and launch Wikipedia Beta to the Play Store, entirely separate from their original app. So yes, both versions are available in the Play Store, which can be a little confusing, but basically all you need to know is this is more or less a fully functional preview of the changes that will hit the official app sometime soon, so keep them both installed for now. They really got it right with this one. It's now fully native, and it shows the hamburger menu on the left side, gives you a number of slide-out options. You can log into your account if you have one, check out your history, manage your bookmarks, or my favorite, display an entry entirely at random. See, when I was a kid, I loved to go to the library, grab an encyclopedia volume off the shelf, and just open up to a page and read about whatever appeared there. Here's the digital equivalent. Wait, you do know what an encyclopedia is, right? Anyway, when you're reading an entry, you can hit the index button at the top to slide out a navigation tree, making it super easy to jump to whatever section of the entry you wish. And as Wikipedia is a resource that everyone the world over can enjoy, there's an option to switch between languages. And finally, what Wikipedia experience would be complete without an easy search field up top that begins to populate results as you type, complete with thumbnail images. The app is simply a joy to use in comparison to the old one especially. And with every search, I feel my memory of the old version fading away like Marty McFly at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. Wait, you do know who Marty McFly is, right? Well, good news for you. You can look it up on your Android device with the new Wikipedia beta app. So that's it. Episode 1 of Android App Arena is history, folks. We want this show to be both a resource and a sounding board for great apps that you discover in your Play Store adventures. Share your app suggestions by sending an email to arena@twit.tv. Also, you can take part in our subreddit at androidapparena.reddit.com. There I'll post categories for upcoming episodes for you to either add your favorite apps to or simply vote up apps that were already added. It's a great indication to me to know what apps you think are worth taking a closer look at. There's a Google Plus community for the show, so do a search for that. You'll find it. And of course, you can always find the show on our site at twit.tv/arena. There you can choose to download or subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast receptacle of choice. And finally, be a part of the live component of this show by tuning in on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv, where I'll be hosting a viewing party of each week's episode and be on hand to answer any questions you might have about all the terrific apps showcased each week. Though, and I hate to say it because we just launched the show, next week's episode will not have a live component because, well, I'll be away on a much-needed vacation. But have no fear. A brand spanking new episode of Android App Arena will be published that day, so you won't miss any app goodness in my absence. Just make sure you're subscribed, and you'll see it in your feed like magic. All right, that's it, folks. Thank you so much for joining me on this premiere episode of Android App Arena. I'm Jason Howell. We'll see you next week in the arena.